Stay tuned for Bob Enyart Live. But first, hi, I'm Pastor Bob Enyart with our Denver Bible Church update. There's an article out. You've heard the news about Yoda being stolen. Someone stole Yoda. A statue of Yoda, the Star Wars Jedi master trainer. 170-pound bronze statue of Yoda was stolen in Pasadena, California. And, you know, in Europe, I don't know as much here in America, but in Europe, some people have taken to turn Star Wars into a religion. And they worship the Force, and Yoda is a spiritual master. And, you know, I guess that's mostly just a joke. But Yoda being stolen, is if you're not a Christian, it's possible that maybe your God could be stolen. Right? Somebody can make off with your God if you don't worship the true God. If you worship something else, if it's a car or money or just some idol, somebody might steal your God. And then what are you going to do? Like in the Bible, Laban had his God stolen in the book of Genesis, and he was really mad because somebody stole his gods. Now, I don't know, if somebody stole my God, I guess I'd be upset. You should be upset with yourself, because if you worship the true God, nobody could steal it. And that story of Yoda being stolen reminds me of what the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 5, that the Philistines had a god, Dagon. Philistines were a seafaring people, and their god, Dagon, in fact, that's why it's called Palestine today, because of the ancient Philistines. And in fact, the Palestinians today, they're not really Palestinians. They don't even have a P in their alphabet. They can't even say Palestinian. They say Palestinian. And if you had a country, and it was your country, really, don't you think you would call it something you could pronounce? Or something you had letters in your alphabet to write? But anyway, the Philistines had a god, Dagon, who was a half man, half fish. That was their god, Dagon. And in 1 Samuel chapter 5, the Philistines had stolen the Ark of God, which was the box that the Ten Commandments were in. And they brought it and they put it in the temple of Dagon. And they set it, the Jews' Ark of the Covenant, they set next to their idol, their statue of Dagon, the half man, half fish. And when the people of Ashdod, the Philistines, arose early the next morning, there was Dagon fallen on its face to the earth before the Ark of the Lord. That's so cool. God has such a sense of humor. So their God, Dagon, is bowing before the God of Israel. And the Philistines took Dagon and set it back up on its feet. You know, if you have a God and you have to sort of prop him up, like he can't stand up on his own two feet, he can't get up once he's fallen. Here's Dagon. I've fallen and I can't get up. That's a Philistine god. And so they set him back up on his feet. And when they arose early the next morning, there was Dagon fallen on its face to the ground before the Ark of the Lord once again. And the head of Dagon and both his hands were broken off, so that only Dagon's torso was left. So he lost his head before the Lord. So it was a battle, and during the night, the true God and the false God had it out, and the false God was done for. So that's just so cool. And the 10 plagues in Egypt, where God was battling the false gods of Egypt, like the darkness was their god Amun-Re, the sun god. So the true God made it dark in the middle of the day. And the frogs and the lice, right? The plagues of Egypt, God was mocking the false gods of Egypt. So at any rate, don't worship Yoda. Don't go for the Palestinians' God, Allah, but go for the true God, Jesus Christ, who created you and died for you and rose from the dead. So visit Denver Bible Church, and now stay tuned for Bob Enyart Live.
Service with a wink and a nod.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic anti-choice talk show host. We've got a lot to cover tonight. Pornography. You know, Playboy, did you know that Playboy has put out hundreds, thousands of images of young girls, little girls, ages 3 to 17, and so many of those were sexualized, and talking about raping the girls. For example, a picture, you know, they had Dorothy of the Wizard of Oz being gang raped, and they had a photo of a nude girl that looked about age 6. This, by the way, is in a recent article by Dr. Judith Reisman, who has who's issued a report for the Department of Justice on pornography and how supposed soft porn like Playboy and Penthouse and Hustler are actually utterly destructive. And so Playboy, she points out in her report, a photo of a nude girl about looking about age 6 sleeping on top of a nursery rhyme sheets while Playboy urges its dads and granddad readers to, here's what the caption said, come on strong, Big Daddy. See, Playboy for decades has in all kinds of ways joked about and encouraged the rape of children. In all kinds of ways, 1,000 times over. But we'll get to that story. And then there's a mom who now has, she killed her newborn child and she was convicted. She was convicted in 2001. Actually, she killed her a newborn on Christmas Day 2001 and later convicted. And now it turns out she killed another newborn baby, so two. And no problem, we're not going to judge, right? We'll only judge the Christians who judge the wicked. No one else. No one else. Only don't judge. Don't judge. Don't you dare. Only judge me. Don't judge any homosexual, no abortionist, no mother who slaughters her children. Don't judge any atheist. Only judge Bob Enyart Live and any other conservative talk show that points out that the wicked are truly evil, and they deserve the coming judgment, and hopefully they'll repent. And they need to know, and like Carolyn needs to know, if you're not on Jesus Christ's side, you're his enemy, and he views you as his enemy. So it's smart to get on his side or risk the consequences. All right, another story, a college debating team from the California Baptist University. They could have won a debating tournament, and all they had to do was defend partial birth abortion. They didn't have to, you know, individually agree with it, but they just had to argue in favor of it and defend it. And you know what they did? They forfeited the tournament. They said, we are not going to do anything to let anyone think that partial birth abortion is acceptable. We want the judges to know firmly that it's wrong. Praise the Lord, huh, for those kids? All right, good going, guys. There is an abortionist in Hattiesburg, Pennsylvania, who has quit. He's quit. Wait a minute. Hattiesburg? That's not Pennsylvania. That's Louisiana, right? Yeah, that's Louisiana. He, wait a minute, wait. It's in Alabama, I apologize. If it is, I think it is. Yeah, protesters from Alabama and Florida. Okay, an abortionist in Hattiesburg, Alabama, quit after protesters continued relentlessly to oppose him killing unborn children. You see, but killing unborn children is God's plan. Oh, but so is protesting then. Right? Some Christians get mad at conservative Christians who try to stop abortion because they say, don't you know abortion is God's plan? Well, then why are you getting mad at us? We're trying to stop it, so isn't that God's plan too? What, God only plans for the abortionist and not the Christian who tries to stop it? I'm just pointing out how absurd that Christian worldview is. I can't help it. It's everywhere. Everywhere we turn in the whole country, Christians are gone loony. Okay, we love them. You know, there's a lot of lovable loony Christians, but loony nonetheless. Associated Press has a story out about Bush's new Medicare bill in his prescription drug program. Remember, it was said it's going to cost $400,000. I mean, $400 billion. Sorry, $400 billion. And I said, and I always used it. I always said the program will cost $500 billion. And some listeners objected and said, what do you mean $500 billion? It's only $400 billion. It's not $500 billion. But I said that, you know, every entitlement program very quickly exceeds the spending exceeds the forecasted budget. And so already, instead of the $400 billion price tag for this program, some congressional aides are saying, and the Associated Press is reporting, that it's going to cost $540 billion. $540 billion. So my price tag of $1,500 a person will turn out to be low. So senior citizens who think this is a good idea, hey, I'll have my prescription drugs subsidized. It won't cost me as much. Well, think of all your children and all your grandkids. It's going to cost them $1,500 each. So if you have 3 kids and 8 grandkids, let's make it easy. 2 kids and 8 grandkids, that's 10 kids for one senior citizen. And you'll get cheaper drugs, and it's going to cost them $15,000 to pay for it. And it's stealing. So not only is it a bad deal, whenever the government is the middleman, it's a bad deal. What else? President Bush has appointed yet another homosexual to an important government post. The log cabin Republicans are tickled pink. They're the homosexual Republican group, the log cabin Republicans. You know, log cabins when you pile up a bunch of piles of sticks and all and logs. And the plural noun for homosexual, do you know what that is? Like you could have a flock, a school of fish, right? What is the plural noun for homosexual? Do you know? What? It's pile. A pile of homos. That's the collective noun for homosexual.
At Bob Inyart Live and KGov.com, you'll find literature, audio, and video products that are a must for the library of any Christian interested in studying the truth of the Bible. You'll find essential material like the plot manuscript, an overview of the whole Bible that will clear up doctrinal issues. Then there's The Tree, a fun audio journey back to the Garden of Eden, where you'll learn about this most famous tree and its impact on humanity. Check out the Mount Moriah video. This video gives evidence for the resurrection combining biblical and secular resources. It's a great witnessing tool. And don't forget the death penalty video. Learn that Jesus advocated the death penalty and learn how God put the death penalty at the heart of the gospel. You can directly help Bob's outreach by subscribing to Best of Bob, Bob's Best 8 Shows of the Month, or build a Bible study library by ordering the monthly Bible albums. There's a lot more, so give us a call at 1-800-8-INYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278 or KGOV.com.
Bob Inyart here with a live commercial break. I want to tell you about our literature. We've got a debate. Does God exist? It's 170 pages. Bob Inyart versus Zakith. It is so much fun. Today, a mom somewhere in the country sent me an email from, was it Mississippi? I don't recall where, saying that her son was debating a high school teacher on evolution, and did I have anything I could send to him? So I told her about 4 of our videos, and then urged them to actually send them some information out of this Does God Exist? Bob Enyart versus Zaketh. And so I got to reread a few sections of it today, looking for just the right material. Like in the ninth round, where the debate focuses on vision systems and what it would take for eyesight to develop and how complex that is. And when how photons hit your eyes, they get translated or encoded into symbols. And then they go through your optic nerve to your brain, and your brain has to decode the symbolic logic. And the laws of physics have no symbolic logic function. So vision could not come about by evolution. It's not conceivably possible. But check out the debate, Does God Exist? Bob Enyart versus Zaketh. Call us and order it. It's only $19.95. You'll love it. 800-8-ENYARDS. That's 1-800-836-9278. So those are some of the stories we'd like to cover. Oh, yeah, Michael Jackson supposedly put wine in a Coca-Cola can and tells the kids that it's Jesus juice and Jesus blood. That's supposedly the testimony. That's from Newsday. And what else? One of the Iraqi ministers, their foreign minister, Hoshiar Zabari, said that Saddam Hussein did have weapons of mass destruction, and they've been hidden very carefully. So, yeah, we'll find out more about that. And we've got some pop Egyptian pop music coming into this country, including terrorist music, terrorist rap. And, for example, this one popular Egyptian songwriter, Shaban Abed al-Rahim, a song about September 11th, the massacre, saying, "Listen, people, it was only a tower. I swear by Allah that they, the U.S., are the ones who pulled it down." That's some of the lyrics. And, of course, that stuff is popular in the Mideast, and it's being sold here in this country. And, of course, the ACLU would defend the right to what? They defend their right to recruit for terrorist organizations here in the U.S., right? Of course the ACLU would. The Antichrist Legions of the Underworld. That's what ACLU stands for. Antichrist Legions of the Underworld. Or All Criminals Love Us. Okay. Yeah, so Bush is spending $540 billion on that, $500 billion deficit this year. All right, no big deal there. All right, so that's it, right? That's some of the news we want to cover. Oh, yeah, George Bush, now he looks like he might increase the budget for the NEA. What is the NEA? You know, conservatives are just, they're just sort of waking up. We've been saying this for years. And from before Bush became president, we said what he would do, spending-wise, he would outspend Bill Clinton like there was no tomorrow. And he has. Sadly, I wish I were wrong on that, but we were right. And we said the same thing about his dad when he was running. And so at any rate, the NEA is the, what does that stand for? The National Endowment for the Antichrist, right? Oh, no, the National Endowment for the Arts. And Laura Bush is supposed to announce the this largest increase in 20 years for the NEA. The NEA is the group that funded, 10 years ago, funded the most despicable anti-Christian artwork, like taking an image of Jesus and submerging it in a jar of urine. You remember that? That was funded by the NEA, along with other utterly despicable, blasphemous perversions that our government and our tax dollars funded, and they call it art. All right, so let's back up now. That's what we'd like to cover. That's too much. We can't cover all that. All right. Well, let's start at the beginning. Dr. Judith Riesman has put together a report for the Department of Justice. It was commissioned by the government, and it was on images of children, crime, and violence in Playboy, Penthouse, and Hustler. That was the name of the report. This was some years ago. This was in the late 80s. And Judith, she's written an article that I'm sure you could get online. Just type in Judith Riesman, R-E-I-S-M-A-N, and maybe type in Wizard of Oz. All right, Dorothy of the Wizard of Oz is gang raped. That's one of the Playboy cartoons by her three friends. So Dr. Riesman's article here is she talks about Congress is urging the Attorney General to aggressively prosecute obscenity. And she points out, well, why doesn't John Ashcroft begin by at least investigating all the federal funds that go to academic pornographers, to government-subsidized schools that, for example, show pornography in classrooms under the guise of academics? And really, the teacher is just a pervert who enjoys showing porn videos with 19-year-old girls in the classroom. That's what's going on. And the same thing happens in our high schools at a different level. So the New York Times reported in December that yet another, this is in Dr. Riesman's article, that yet another pedophile luminary has been arrested. You know, some well-respected member of the community. This one, a posh Manhattan private school headmaster. Now, we've talked about things like this in the past. Even in homosexual, New York has homosexual schools, high schools, schools for kids. And we've talked about this previously, so this is a new episode. And the New York Times, she writes, always clairvoyant, found it remarkable that affluent parents have grown suspicious of coaches, teachers, nannies, and camp counselors. They can't understand. The New York Times writes, these parents grew up riding their bicycles to after-school sports, and now they watch over soccer practice. And moms will not let Johnny go into the men's bathroom. And the newspaper of record, the New York Times, Dr. Riesman notes, is puzzled. They don't know why. Aren't they stupid? Liberals are stupid, right? They're stupid. They don't know why. So Dr. Judith Riesman says, well, let's try to figure this out. Perhaps there's a relationship between the billions of media messages portraying sex and sadism. Perhaps there's a connection between the billions of media messages presenting sex and sadism to our population. There's a connection between that and the kidnapping of over 50,000 children in 1999, according to the U.S. Department of Justice, from not by family members, but by non-family members kidnapped from parks, streets, and yards. Most of them sexually harmed in some way. She says, perhaps there's a relationship. Yeah, I'd say so. But the media wouldn't say so because that would be judgmental. You see, the media is only judgmental against, well, let's say, conservative Christians. They're judgmental against us. And so some people say, you know, Bob, on your show, you're so aggressive and confrontational. If only you would be nicer, then the secular media, they'd like us Christians. Oh, yeah, right. Think of some of the national Christian ministries and how much the media loves them, right? Like they really, you can't be nicer or more respectful than James Dobson. Could you? I don't think so. He's the nicest guy I've ever met, seen. I love that guy. He's a neat guy. And they hate him. So anyway, so you might, if they already hate you, you might as well tell them the truth. You're a bunch of perverts. And you don't care the way the media presents children. So the Playboy investigation angered the media. Dr. Judith Reisman calls them a bunch of yahoos in the media. She said these yahoos, they love sex research, but they did everything they could to kill my research. And my research, she went through Playboy and tallied the number of images of children under age 18. And what she found in the years that she went through, and it's good that a woman did this and not a guy. A guy should not try this research project. And many women shouldn't even do it. But anyway, she documented 3,045 images of children under the age of 18 in photographs, cartoons, and illustrations. Most of them were girls, of course, right? Because Playboy, the sexual appeal is to men for women. And so most of the children shown were girls. Half of them were ages 3 to 11. Based on, you know, they took every one of those 3,000 images and they put an estimated age of what the child looked like. And if there are any hints in the caption or the joke. So half of them, or 47%, were ages 3 to 11, and a third of them were ages 12 to 17. Two-thirds of Playboy children, those were girls, right? Two-thirds of Playboy children were sexualized. In other words, most of the images of children were used in a sexual context, like Dorothy of the Wizard of Oz being gang-raped by a bunch of guys having a good time. Now, how is that message? That's Hugh Hefner. You know, right? Hugh Hefner, the guy that the media loves to love and respect. They treat him like he were a king. So Playboy's desensitizing cartoons, photographs, illustrations have just are replete with rape jokes against women and, of course, children. And cartoons are commonly used to dehumanize whoever you want to dehumanize, blacks, Jews, Arabs, Christians. So, and again, as I started the show with, Playboy had a photo of a nude girl that looked about age 6, sleeping on sheets that showed nursery rhymes. And the caption, Playboy urges its dads and granddads to, this is what the caption said, come on, strong big daddy. You see why some Christians are apathetic and they don't know and they don't care and they don't want to know. Apathy is the opposite of love. Apathy is the opposite of love. Other Christians are in the spiritual battle, and they're furious. You see, your theology could take you out of the spiritual battle and make you think the only important thing, the only thing to battle is self-righteousness. All these other things are just symptoms. But no, these are not just symptoms. This is part of the battle. Welcome to those of you tuning in on the web. Hey, I got to tell the Denver audience, too. They'll join us in 40 seconds about our Denver tour. I mean our Denver tour. Our Turkey tour, May 25th. We're heading out for 17 days to learn more about the Bible land of Turkey. Now, we think of Israel a lot, right? Israel as a Bible land. But how about Turkey? You know, that is such a key country for the various stories that we read about in the Bible. So what have we got here? 8 seconds? Hold on. Let's wait. They're a little slow. They'll catch up to us. Here we go. Hey, Denver, let me invite you to Turkey. Come on out with those of us here at Bob and Yurt Live and Denver Bible Church. We're going for 17 days beginning May 25th. It will be the trip of a lifetime. You know, the Apostle Paul, his famous missionary journeys, well, he passed through cities in Turkey. And Jesus Christ in the book of Revelation wrote 7 letters to 7 cities. Well, the church is in 7 cities, those 7 cities in the country of Turkey. And that country, that's one of the Bible countries. And we've seen it work in Israel. When you go to the land of the Bible and then you read stories in the Bible, they come to life more easily because you can picture it. You understand somewhat what it entailed because you can see the setting. It's like watching a play, but keeping your eyes closed through the whole play. It's easier when you could see the setting. And there'll be 2 weeks of fellowship, great food, fun. We'll have the best tour guide you're ever going to get for the country of Turkey, Bora Azcak. He's been doing this for 30 years, and I'll be presenting the Bible material. So call us if you'd like information. 1-800-836-9278. All right, we're back. 1-800-836-9278. So Judith Riesman, in her report to Congress, and in fact, she's recounting in her recent article about all the sexualized images of children in Playboy and others like Penthouse and Hustler, but focusing on Playboy, another photo is of a girl named Jane who is described as naughty, and she's naked. And she's chained to a bed. And the caption reads, "How one family solved its discipline problem." So in other words, dad didn't like the way his teenage daughter was acting. So he stripped her and tied her to the bed and raped her. And they're joking about that. And how many readers of all the men who have raped, committed incest, and raped their daughters in the last 40 years, how many of them have thoroughly enjoyed Playboy? How many? It should be a crime. It should be a crime to commit conspiracy to sexually molest children. That should be a crime. If you're publishing out to the world joking about raping your daughter, raping kids, your grandchildren. You're joking about it. You're giving reasons why it'd be fun, why it'd be helpful. Then the victims of such rape, if our criminal justice system was just, they should be able to go after Playboy for damages. They should be. And, well, not only that, even further, Playboy should not have the right to publish. It should be a crime to sexually exploit people. That should be a crime. But conservative Christian leaders are afraid even to say that. Right? Morality and Media, the president, Bob Peters, Christian group against pornography. He was on the show for an hour, and I almost begged him. I said, "Bob, you're the president of the nation's largest Christian group against pornography, won't you stand with Denver Bible Church as we call for the recriminalization of pornography? And he said, oh, no, I can't do that. You see, our Christian leaders are pro-choice when it comes to pornography. They believe that men have the choice whether or not to sexually exploit people. That's what they believe, our Christian leaders. What Christian leader, think of the biggest ones, what Christian leader has said that Playboy and Penthouse are criminal and should be recriminalized? No, they say it's okay. It's just child pornography and obscenity we should fight against, but Playboy should be legal. That's what they say. That's what they believe. And that's why the biggest Christian ministry against pornography on this show this past year said that pornography should be legal. How's that? See, there some people are pro-choice on killing babies, and Christians are pro-choice on sexually exploiting women. And they wonder, why can't we win the battle when they sexualize children? And we wonder, why can't we win the battle? Because Christian leaders have given up. And they've agreed with the perverts that it should be legal to sexually exploit people. That should be a crime. So could legalized prostitution be far behind? It's legal in what state? Nevada. The government ran a house of prostitution for a while. Did you know that? Yeah, the IRS. Because one house of prostitution in Nevada was not paying its taxes. So the government, as they sometimes will do, they took over the business. Like if your business owes $1 million, they'll take over your business and sell you off your inventory, your property, or operate your business and reimburse the taxes, back taxes. They ran a house of prostitution for a while. The government. The U.S. government. It's unbelievable. All right. And, of course, so anyway, Dr. Reisman goes on and on and on. Isn't that something? So soft porn, she calls it soft porn, and she says, what a joke. Soft porn? Yeah, right. And pornography destroys men more so than women because it's more appealing to men than women. Feminists get mad about that. Feminists wish that pornography was equally appealing to men and women. That's how stupid feminists are. Children's toys threaten a feminist. Children's toys for little kids. You have a box of trash and a doll. And you have a little boy and a little girl. And the little girl plays with the doll. And the little boy plays with the box of trash. And that drives feminists nuts. They're afraid of little kids' toys. All right. What else? What other good news is out there? Well, we have Kathleen Brown. Kathleen Brown. This article is from the New York Post. And she is back in custody where a judge 2 weeks ago revoked her bail. I just found out about the story. This story came out on my birthday, January 10th, and a judge revoked her bail after she was accused of a second infanticide. She was convicted of killing her newborn baby on Christmas Day 2001. She killed a baby, and now prosecutors have found out she killed another baby and dumped it behind an Italian restaurant in New York. She's from Massapequa. What a despicable tragedy, huh? What a despicable tragedy. She now faces a double infanticide trial after DNA test linked her to the second dead baby. My guess is not much will happen to her. Because after all, the New York Times ran a 3-page article saying it should be legal to kill unborn children. I'm sorry, no, unborn children? I just misspoke, sorry. The New York Times ran a three-page article. I mispronounced that because I'm looking that up as we talk. They ran a three-page article arguing that it should be legal to kill babies after they're born in the first month for any reason. That was the Sunday New York Times from, let's see, I have it here, November 2nd, 1997. Front cover. The front cover advertised this. It was a, you know, a promo on the front cover about infanticide. And you turn open the Sunday edition of the New York Times commentary section, and there's a three-page artwork advocating that it should be legal to kill a baby in the first month for any reason. Is that, that's not surprising, right? No, it's not. Now, we read that article on the air, the whole article. And then afterward, and we had, you know, we have our archives for the show, and we have a whole box of, some people have a scrapbook. We have scrap box, a big chest. And that article is very treasured because of how important it is to show people how evil the New York Times is. And it disappeared. So one of our friends ordered a back issue of the New York Times from that date. You know, it cost $100 or so. And he ordered it, and it came, and it didn't have the commentary section. It was missing. And so he called up angry, and he said, hey, what's with this? I paid all this money. Where's the commentary section? And the guy on the other end of the line, I don't know, maybe people try to rip them off. So the guy didn't believe him that it wasn't there. And he said, look, it's not in there. So the guy said, well, let me go check our inventory. And he went and he checked, and all the other copies they had in inventory for that issue, November 2nd, 1997, every one, someone had gone through and stripped away the commentary sections. So the New York Times doesn't have it. How's that one? And we've got it on video. I've got the New York Times. We zoom in. I don't just read it. The camera follows every paragraph as we're reading it. It was there. And then the Denver Post, what was it, a week later? The Denver Post did an article about one of the only places in the country. The Denver Post pointed out, look what this article said in the New York Times. And nobody even cares that it should be legal to kill a baby in the first month. So at least the Denver Post, I believe it was the Denver Post, or was it the Rocky Mountain News? Got to think through that. But it showed a baby carriage with a sickle, a pram with a sickle. That was in the Denver paper, criticizing the Rocky Mountain News article. So anyway, is this surprising? A mom would kill two? No, it's not. Bob Benyard here. In fact, you know, you can get that video from us. I've just opened up our brand new color, four-color catalog. And is that a pretty catalog or what? See that? David Kinsel's in the studio. He likes it. We've got a video called Infanticide Exposed, New York Times and Infanticide 1995. And apparently that's the only way you'll be able to read the article. But you have to read it on your TV screen. Plus, I read it to you during the show. And I probably get a little angry in that show. I don't know. I imagine I do. But we've got so many good videos. Things you're not going to get elsewhere. Great stuff. Fun. Some get you angry. All of it's educational. It's all designed to get you into the spiritual battle and help you win battles in the spiritual war. For example, Get Out of the Matrix. That's where I debated an entire college philosophy class and their professor for an hour and 15 minutes. And before we got into the class, we took our camera crew into the cafeteria of the college. We just walked up to the first table, and here are a couple young skulls full of mush studying. And we walked up, and they could see. We got a cameraman, a microphone, you know, who knows, some TV show. And I said, we'd like to ask you a couple questions. Is there such a thing as right and wrong? And they looked at each other a little bewildered, and the girl with the hoops through her nose and lip rings and whatever she had said, no. Was it wrong for the Nazis to murder 6 million Jews? No. That was the answer you get. So we go to the philosophy class, and you got the professor telling the kids there's no such thing as right and wrong, and I asked the professor on the show, on the video, is it absolutely wrong for a man to rape a woman? And she said, well, that depends. All right, we're back. Bob and Yurt Live. So this Kathleen Brown, she's probably, I mean, you can never guess what's going to happen in our courts. You know, they're so broken. This is a former TGI Fridays waitress. And so anyway, she's in jail right now. She should have been dead the first time. Right? Discover Magazine. Discover Magazine. Discover. Isn't that published by Disney? It must be, because in the back of Discover Magazine, you could buy bumper stickers that mock Jesus Christ. Right? Discover Magazine, they show the bumper stickers. Isn't Discover Magazine owned by Disney? It must be, because in the classified ads in the back of the magazine, you could buy bumper stickers that mock Jesus Christ, because they have a fish, you know, the Christian fish, and they have an evolution. The fish is evolving. And that's Discover Magazine selling bumper stickers that mock Christianity. Do you think they would sell bumper stickers that mock Islam? What do you think? And we have the bumper sticker where the Christian fish is eating the little fish with the legs. So we got that. But do you think Discover Magazine, you think Disney would sell bumper stickers mocking Islam? What do you think? No chance, right? No chance. No chance. Michael Eisner would go to heaven before that would happen. No chance. So anyway, but yeah, Disney owns Discover. And so Discover Magazine has an article on infanticide, killing babies. And they quote an evolutionist, Sarah Hardy, H-R-D-Y. Can't you put a vowel in there somewhere? H-R-D-Y, Sarah Hardy. And here, let me give you a quote from this article, all right? This is Discover Magazine. Infanticide is at one end of the spectrum of parental care. And you know why they said that? Because the article said sometimes parents have to kill a baby so they have more time and energy for other kids. So killing one baby can help you raise another. Even if it's your first baby, they said you might even kill your first baby so that you can grow better, so you can raise your next baby better. That's Discover Magazine. And they say, after all, animals do it. Animals kill their young, some of them, right? Some animals eat their young. So, but that's why we despise liberals. An abortionist, an evolutionist, an atheist. Now, we love them enough to warn them to repent, but we despise them. All right. Let's see. What else do we have here? So this mom should have been put to death, But now she's up for two, killing two babies, newborns. And this latest one, at least this latest one to come to light, she apparently dumped the baby's body behind an Italian restaurant. So, all right. Now, this is good news, but sadly, this next story, the good news, it's only good because it's in the context of gross evil. So how's that? You got good news, but it's only good because it's contrasted with gross evil. A Christian college debate team forfeited a debate rather than win a tournament. All they had to do, this is a team from the California Baptist University, and they were about to win the tournament, and they had to argue in favor of partial birth abortion. Now, it didn't mean that they believed in partial birth abortion. They just had to argue in favor of it. And the team said there's no way they would do that. They forfeited the tournament, and they said, we wanted the judges to know that partial birth abortion is wrong, and we're not even going to role play support for it. That'd be like, you know, the debate itself is evil. It'd be like role playing defending raping women. Wouldn't that be a good college class exercise? Okay, who wants to debate to defend saying it's okay, it's fun to rape women, and who wants to oppose it? Wouldn't that be a good college? I could picture that happening at Metro. How about at Duh? Would it happen at Duh? Where's Duh anyway? That's in South Denver, like down by Alameda or something? Where's Duh? D-U. Evans. Duh. Clinton spoke there. We went there and we protested Clinton speaking. And the college campus, the students were foaming at the mouth. And so I'm glad the cops were there. We thought we were going to be killed. It was like trying to talk to primates. It's no wonder they believe in evolution. And so I asked them, I said, well, you go to this school, what is the number one? And we were saying how government schools in America, government schools are a failure. And of course, they disagree with that. So I asked them, what is the number one class? What's the most popular class here at Duh? And of course, you think they'd know? Of course they didn't know. And what was my luck that day? Their school newspaper had a front page article that I happened to read that said the number one course on campus was remedial English. So I'm talking to these students at Duh, and I say to them, the number one course on campus is remedial English. This is your mother tongue. You grew up here in this country. This is not Latin or Greek. It's not remedial physics or chemistry. This is remedial English, like verbs and nouns and adjectives. Our school, our educational system is a failure, but you don't know it because you're not educated. You can't know if it's a failure because you were educated in it. So you'd think it's a great success because you could almost read and write. So anyway, this debate team, these guys are heroes. Boy, I'd love to have them on the show. The California Baptist University. We'll ask our PR guy to do a little producer work and see if California Baptist University debate team, if somebody'd come on the show. Maybe the captain of the CBU team, Mary Preifogel, 20 years old. Wouldn't that be great? All right, we'll see if Ray Graybar could work on that. Oh, by the way, Ray cannot go with us to Turkey, May 25th. But he said his wife and her friend would love to come, and so they're checking on getting off of work. Hey, that'd be great. We're going to have a good time. Now, if they come, that'll be 12, and we're looking for 20 people. So if you're thinking about joining us to go to Turkey, May 25th, call us. Call us soon. All right, here's this doctor in apparently Alabama, Hattiesburg, Alabama. Now, the article here, Missionaries to the Unborn newsletter that I've got, could do a little better in making it clear what state this is. But a Hattiesburg doctor, I believe in Alabama, accused of performing abortions in Mobile. Notice how they write that, right? This is a pro-life article. Now, the media wouldn't write it that way, right? They write, a doctor accused of performing abortions in Mobile, they present it as though it's a crime, which it is. It should be. It's a crime before God. It's a crime against humanity, killing unborn children. A doctor accused of performing abortions in Mobile has resigned from his clinic, as well as his privileges to practice at Hattiesburg's two hospitals. Dr. Donald Whitaker, an OBGYN at Tower Pavilion for Women, submitted a letter of resignation to his partners, effective January 13th this year. Let's see here. In addition, officials at Wesley Medical Center and Forest General Hospital say they've also received letters from Whitaker resigning his privileges at those two facilities, effective immediately. Abortion protesters picketed the prior week, claiming that Whitaker traveled to Mobile once a week to perform abortions at the Planned Parenthood Center. Oh, so you know what they did? They followed him to his hometown and protested at his hometown practice. So anyway, it's neat, and praise the Lord that an abortionist has at least stopped killing kids there. That's good. And we need to fight them wherever we find them. All right, what else is in the news? Boy, we're almost out of time. So Bush's $400 billion program, I predicted that it would, it'd be at least a $500 billion price tag, not $400. And now, what was that, a week ago? We've already got the Associated Press quoting congressional aides saying right off the bat, the costs going into it look like they'll be $540 billion for 10 years. So add that up. That's $1,500 per person. So if you have a grandma or grandpa and they're going to get discounted prescription drugs now, and grandma and grandpa have two kids and eight grandkids, 10 people, those 10, it's going to cost them $1,500 each, or $15,000 for the kids who will be struggling so that grandma and grandpa could have discounted prescription drugs. That's a good deal, right? Plus, guess what? When the government pays for things, the price goes up, not down. And Bush has appointed another homosexual. And log cabin Republicans are excited about that. Michael Jackson has been he's guilty of sexual harassment ever since he sang at the Super Bowl with children on the stage and grabbed his private parts and thrust himself at the whole world. I mean, that's a crime. Shouldn't it be a crime? Could you do that in a sixth grade class? Go in and speak and do that? No, you should go to jail. And Michael Jackson, he's a pervert, child molester. All right, we're out of time here at Bob and Aaron Live. That's as much truth as we could squeeze into 1 hour. So tune in tomorrow night. Until then, this is Bob and Aaron reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.